Hello and welcome everybody to the Wednesday night care group meditation series. I'd like to introduce you to my good friend Mahindra Wijeratna. Mahindra is a long-time member of the BSWA since 2011, and I believe you were the Society's librarian for about 6 years. So much loved and respected member of the Buddhist Society. And also, your daughter is a nun at the monastery, Achala Bhikkhuni. Well, tonight, Mahindra is going to talk to us about leadership skills towards loving kindness. And I must say, I really loved your last talk. Hope you don't mind, but I've been pinching your analogy of thoughts being like little birds flitting out of the bush. It's a beautiful imagery. So before we get started, just quickly say that our care line is now open. So in the little house behind us, we have some caring volunteers looking after the phones. So if you feel like you would like to call our care line, if you'd like to be to listen to, in a caring and non-judgmental way, then please pick up the phone. So I'll read it out just in case you can't see it down the bottom of the screen. But the numbers, country code, plus 61 862 70 4671. And you can also contact us through WhatsApp, and that is 61 493 056 327. So on that note, I'll hand you over to Mahindra, who will talk to us about leadership skills towards loving kindness. And he has a much better microphone.
Thank you, Sandra. Thank you very much for the introduction. Good evening. Today's topic is leadership skills towards loving kindness. When we talk about leadership skills, there are so many skills we can talk about. It's difficult to cover such a vast subject during a short period of 25 to 30 minutes. But I have selected few skills that are appropriate to our journey towards loving kindness. Before I come to that, let us spend 1 or 2 minutes talking about the leadership. In the world, there are so many types of leaders: religious leaders, political leaders, military leaders, all are leaders, but we are not diverging into those areas. But we are talking about leaders mainly with a vision. These leaders could be divided into two groups: the visionary leaders, who bring an ideology, a doctrine, concept, a philosophy, or gives a direction to a group of people. For example, leaders like Mahatma Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, Abraham Lincoln, Dalai Lama, Ajahn Brahm, Lumpo Ganha are such leaders. They alone won't be able to perform this task of getting their concept or the ideology across. There's another type of leaders who support them. They are known as transactional leaders. They support the visionary leaders in taking their message. So if we just look at our situation, the visionary leader Ajahn Brahm's message will be taken by so many We have a few meters away, there's Ashok and Jake Mitra, Cecilia Mitra, Lynn Jackson, Dennis Shepherd, Prem, who's here, and so many others are supportive the vision of Ajahn Brahm. But the good thing is, both these groups have leadership qualities. So what we are going to discuss, few of these qualities, and examine in bit in deep details how we can adopt, we can associate these specific skills in our journey towards loving kindness. I have chosen few of those qualities applicable to our journey, such as humility is one thing, then listening skills, insight of being in the present moment, forgiveness, gratitude. Those are the things we are going to discuss. If we discuss humility, humility is a skill. A person with humility will never display his power or position and try to rub it on others. If you are humble, you will just, you won't use that position to rub it on others. That's an important thing in being humble. Another situation is if you are a wealthy person, well-to-do, and if you have a lot of wealth, again, if you have humility, you are not going to rub it on others. You are not going to display your wealth, and that's being humble about it. Similarly, you might be an academic or a highly skilled person. Again, you are not going to rub those accomplishments on others. That's being humble. Similarly, you might have a good personality, or you might be a very beautiful person. You are not going to display those things and rub it on others. So these are aspects of being humble or humility. Again, respect and recognition is another skill. When you see a fellow human being, you will always show respect rather than carrying your head above and ignoring. We know if you look at Ajahn Brahm, he has a 24/7 smile. When he sees anybody, he will recognize and respect that person. With that act, the person receiving the recognition, I mean, his emotions are elevated. And his rapport with Ajahn is also increasing. I have seen he doesn't know those people, but still he will look in the eyes and nod. He doesn't know from where he has come, but he will still either say good morning, hello, that type of thing. These are main characteristics of having humility. Another thing is, a person with humility will always apologize if he has done something wrong, if he has committed a mistake. With that, he'll correct. That's part of being humble. Lastly, but importantly, a person with humility will never say, "I told you so," when something has gone wrong. In such a situation, pointless somebody saying, "Hey, I told you," that doesn't improve that situation, or that's not a solution to the problem at hand. That is just simply saying, "Hey, you know how true I am correct, I was correct." That's not contributing to the situation at hand. So never a person with humility will ever say, "I told you." Actually, humility defines your general conduct. It makes you a friendly, approachable individual. So that is one skill where we can learn a lot, improve a lot towards our path. The next one I am going to talk about is listening skills. A leader will always have very good listening skills. It is a skill. As much as swimming is a skill, or ballet dancing is a skill, listening is a skill you must learn and develop. If you are listening to somebody, you should face the speaker, make eye contact. That is one of the first things. Then be attentive, but relaxed. We have seen and we have experienced, and I'm sure all of us know, some managers, when a colleague comes to see them, he or she will say, okay, go on, I'm listening. And either start signing papers or doing various things, getting the other person to continue to talk. But that is not listening. You are not giving your time full to that person's conversation or the problem he has. If the conversation is on the telephone, it is very much more important your listening skills. You must let the speaker know that you are really listening. How will you be able to tell that person? By giving proper responses. It can be a sympathetic response or an appreciative response. You can say yes, oh, good. Whatever it is appropriate to the conversation, you must say that is how you maintain a conversation on the telephone. Also, listen to the words and try to picture what this person is trying to tell you. Don't interrupt and don't impose your solutions middle of the conversation on the telephone. These are little small details that you should pay attention to. Ask questions to ensure understanding rather than questioning what that person is saying, you know. That's the important thing. Try to feel what the person is trying to tell you. Give the regular feedbacks to the person. Pay attention to what is not said. Try and gather non-verbal clues regarding the conversation. I'm not going to go into very much details in that. I believe if we at least identify that listening is a skill which can be improved. After every conversation, if you review it, did I do it right? Or how did I go about doing the conversation? That's the best way to improve. The next thing I'm going to say is being in the present moment and being, I would call it insight. I'll give you a small anecdote. Two cops were stuck in traffic in a police car. The senior cop was driving. The other person was seated on the next seat. While waiting for the traffic lights to turn green, the younger cop noticed a gleaming new brand new BMW on the other lane. It was very nice, polished. Then he was looking at the driver of the BMW. Driver, a young guy, he took a long drag on his cigarette and took it off his mouth and dropped the ash on the upholstery of the car. So the young cop was disturbed. He said, did you see that? He dropped ash on his new car. If he's the owner of the car, he wouldn't do that. Even if he had borrowed the car, he will respect the vehicle. It's a new car. They lit up, chased him, and stopped him. Found it was a stolen car. So that is insight. You know, as leaders, we must be in the present moment, but be alive to the situation, what's going on. You will gain that skill if you start practicing it. Now I'll move into another skill which is very much known in the Buddhist circles, gratitude. I mean, all of us, we know what gratitude means. Just to support it, I will give you two examples. We all know, if you read about the biography of Lord Buddha, soon after he attained enlightenment under the Bodhi tree, he sat there for 7 days, displaying heartfelt gratitude to the tree for providing shelter in his path to enlightenment. I can't think of a better act of gratitude than that. These are very much known in the Buddhist circles in the biography of Lord Buddha. But I will give you another story of a recent incident where somebody had displayed gratitude very well. In the recent Olympics held in Japan, 110-meter hurdler from Jamaica, his name is Hansler Parchment, he accidentally took the wrong bus to the heats event of 110-meter hurdling. He ended up at the wrong place. That is not where the event is held. And he didn't have much time to get to the right place. He was excited, upset, disturbed. He did not know what to do because Olympic Village is a big place. So luckily, to his luck, there was a lady, a volunteer, who helped this guy. The volunteer realized how disturbed and how disappointed the guy was. So she gave money and arranged a taxi to get to the right place. He had very little time. So with the help of that volunteer, this hurdler managed to go to the right place and participated in the heats, and he qualified himself. In the semifinals, he came third, and finally he won gold. So you can see that volunteer girl helping him to get to the right place on time, he won a gold medal in Olympics. So soon after winning, he went looking for this girl. He traced the volunteer. She was only a volunteer in the Olympic event. He traced her and gave an Olympic t-shirt from Jamaica, Jamaican Olympic t-shirt, and returned the money and a bit more and thanked her profusely. Subsequently, the Jamaican government invited this girl to visit Jamaica on a holiday. So these are events of gratitude, you know. Having said that, the sad story is one of the YouTube reported this matter differently. That's what is bad about today's journalism, or if you want to call it YouTube journalism. They reported saying this guy Hansler gave the gold medal to the girl. That was the caption. You can see how truth is distorted for their benefit. But actually what happened was he did not give the gold medal, but he thanked her and gave an Olympic shirt and returned the money. That's about gratitude. The next one I'm going to talk about is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice we have in our life. We grow through forgiveness. Forgiveness moves us from being a victim to a hero. If you can make up your mind to forgive. If you read the book of Desmond Tutu and his daughter Mpho, a book, the name of the book is Book of Forgiving. It gives tremendous amount of heart-moving, pathetic, sad stories, but very enlightening stories about forgiving in the truth and reconciliation of the South African movement. There are so many. I can recall, this is what I am going to say now, is hearsay, and I believe it is true, something that happened in this BSWA. Long time ago, I think it's about 4 years ago, on 1st of January, there was a robbery. 1st of January, all the people who gathered here, they were having lunch and pindapatha in the community hall. Unfortunately or fortunately, I was inside the library, but in the back room, from where you can't see or you can't do anything, you don't know anything. But during that period, the treasury was broken into, and a guy took a large amount of money and took a laptop from the monk's cottage and ran away. So later on, I realized there was a big commotion. I came out and inquired. They said, you know, the treasury was broken into. And nobody knew the amount of money, because it is after the 31st night, plus the collection from various branches, they count the money only on a Monday. So nobody knew how much money was stolen. But reporting to the police, Ajahn Brahm is supposed to have said, tell them it is less than 10,000. Because if it is more than 10,000, the punishment to the guy would be a lot more. So you can see how forgiveness was given to a guy whose face is not known, the act was known, and the depth of the crime was not known. That is forgiveness. So we are going to spend more time doing meditation today, and that is what we agreed. Finally, I'll give you a very heartbreaking story about forgiveness. That again, it happened in Israel. Basman, we'll call him Basman Amin, his right name. At the age of 12, he saw another boy of the same age being shot by the Israeli soldiers. That really impacted him. And he joined a group to attack Israelis. In the process, when he was 17, he was punished and he was imprisoned. In the prison, he was beaten, he was stripped, he had various type of body harm done to him. So his anger, the hatred, grew more and more. But however, in the process, he started some sort of a conversation with an Israeli guard. So over a period of time, they discussed matters. And this guy realized, as well as the guard realized, there are so many things common in them that both parties are sharing somebody else's land in Jerusalem area. So after some time, in 2005, he realized this is not the path for me to take. Realization came because of this conversation with the Israeli guard. Then he came out and he formed a group called Combatant for Peace. And for Assam, for this guy, Basam Assam, it was not a weakness, he saw it as a strength. However, unfortunately, in 2010, now Assam had been married and he's having children, his 10-year-old daughter was shot by the Israeli soldiers outside the daughter's school. That was a turning point, Assam, which did not agree. He changed to forgiveness. And he says, Abir is the name of the daughter. Abir's murder could have led me down the easy path of hatred. But for me, there was no return from dialogue and nonviolence. After all, it was one Israeli soldier who killed my daughter. But 100 former Israeli soldiers who built a garden in the name of my daughter in her old school. So that is how forgiveness was practiced by a person who was very much affected by the violence in the Israel. So I say again, forgiveness is a choice. It's a difficult choice. We thankful to our situation, we have never experienced such atrocities or bad karma in this life. So I believe I have discussed four important skills of leadership which can take us think about it and try to practice it as much as possible. I think the time is coming close to what we should be doing, the meditation. So if you have any questions, you can either ask now or even later at the end of the meditation. Whatever your choice is, I'll give you about 2-3 minutes, then we'll get on to meditation. Okay? Then we'll start meditation. If you have any questions, you can prepare and ask afterwards. I'll do my best to answer as much as I know. Well, I mean, to meditate, let us first, what Lord Buddha has said is, to meditate, you must have Chitta Viveka and Sharira Viveka, or relaxed mind and relaxed body. So first, let us relax ourselves. You can do a body scan from head to toe before we get into do metta meditation. Make yourself comfortable. Close your eyes. You can adjust yourself at any point in time to suit the situation. Take your mind to top of the head. Relax your muscles. Come down to the neck areas. If need be, adjust, move around. Come down to the shoulders. Move down your right hand. Relax. Elbow, the hand, the wrist, and the fingers. You can move them. Go back to the left shoulder. Relax. Come down towards the elbow, the hand, and the fingers. Breathe in and relax your chest muscles. Come down to the body, the stomach area. Relax all those muscles. Go down the right leg, the thigh, kneecap, calf muscles, ankle, foot, and the toes. Come back to the left leg, thighs, kneecap, calf muscles. You can move them, and toes. Do the same thing with your back and the bottom. Relax. Once you have gone through all this, cast your mind in a northerly direction. And show metta to all beings living in that direction. Let all beings be well and happy, and spend time, some time doing that in that direction. Now, cast your mind in the eastern direction and do the same. May all beings in this direction be happy and be well. Take your mind and express your on that direction. Now, cast your mind in a southern direction and say, all beings living in the southern direction, may they be happy, may they be well. Now take your mind in the western direction and do the same. May all beings living in this direction, let them be happy and well-being. Take your mind now in upward direction, and may all beings living in this direction be well and be happy. Now take your mind in a downward direction and wish all beings living in that direction be happy and be well. Now you can take your mind to all your loved ones, friends, Kalyana Mitra, and do the same. And I will remain silent and leave you to your own metta meditation and ring the bell 1 minute after we are going to finish meditation. We are coming to the end of the meditation period. I will ring the gong 3 times to end the session. Thank you. Any questions from the floor or from online? I'm willing to discuss. I don't think there are any questions. Any questions online? No? Okay.
No questions online. Yeah. But I'd like to thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
A wonderful talk as always. And just to let people know as we close that the care line is still open until 9 o'clock. So just in case you can't see the number and you'd like to reach out and call our carers, the phone line is 618-6270-4671. Or you can use WhatsApp on your smartphone, which is a bit cheaper. And that's 61493056327. And also, before we pay our respects, I'd love to invite you all for a cup of tea and some biscuits. I rode home early, especially to make you biscuits. So come and enjoy some biscuits. It's the beautiful thing about Wednesday nights. Everyone comes together. But thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and thank you, everybody. Thank you. Just pay respect to Buddha.